This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. When it comes to sharks, great whites and the risk to human swimmers have dominated public attention in the Northeast recently. But there are hundreds of species of sharks in the world, and for most of them, in most of the world, humans are a far greater threat to the sharks than the other way around. That's why my next guest is working to establish a shark shelter in the waters around the Philippines. Anna Oposa is the co-founder, executive director, and chief mermaid of Save Philippine Seas, a nonprofit that aims to protect the Philippines' coastal and marine resources. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Anna, you founded Save Philippine Seas when you were, 23, pretty much fresh out of graduate school with no community organizing experience.
Yes,
why?
Exactly.
Why did you think that was necessary, and why did you think you were the one to do it?
So I actually co-founded it right after my undergraduate degree. I didn't have my master's degree then, and I was looking for a job, and I had so much free time, and I was doing a lot of volunteer work on environmental advocacy, and I found out about a massive illegal wildlife trade case that happened in the summer, well, the Philippine summer, so it was April, May of 2011, and I don't know, because maybe I had so much time, I couldn't sit still about this issue, and I kept reading about it, and I decided to write different government agencies about this issue. And I found other people online, because I was very active on Twitter and on Facebook, who were also like-minded and passionate about it. And we decided to get online and start a Facebook page called Save Philippine Seas. But at that time, it was really just supposed to be a social media movement. But 8 years later, we're still here.
And you're no longer working on just the illegal wildlife trade. You've got a host of issues. What are some of the biggest threats that you see to the Philippines' coastal and ocean ecosystems right now?
So the Philippines is the second largest archipelago in the world. We have 7,500 plus islands.
Wow.
So you can just imagine how difficult it is to enforce certain laws for the seas. The Philippines has pretty much I call it the center of biodiversity in terms of plant and animal species, but we also happen to be the center of adversity and just about anything illegal and destructive you can find in the Philippine seas. So in addition to illegal wildlife trade, there's illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing, and we were also named as the third largest polluter of plastics in the ocean. So those are three already major issues that we find ourselves occupied with. So never a boring day.
Well, with all of the issues facing ocean ecosystems, why at this point focus your attention on sharks, particularly thresher sharks, but other sharks and rays, and really focus on trying to protect those species?
So in the Philippines, we have about 200 species of sharks, and right now, only 21 species are protected. And when you have 200 species, what do you do with the rest? You know, the ones that are not protected. And we don't have a policy right now that regulates or even looks after all the species of sharks. And the thing about sharks is that many of them are at the top of the ecosystem, but other species also are important in livelihood and maintaining the ecosystem, the marine ecosystem health. You know, like thresher sharks, for example, has changed the lives of communities in Cebu. 80% of the income of the community that I work in, which is called Malapasco Island in northern Cebu, comes from the diving industry around thresher sharks. So in this case, sharks are much more valuable alive than dead. And people in the Philippines, even if we're an archipelagic country, a lot of people are scared of the water, are scared of being in the water, and have this perception that sharks are dangerous. So we're trying to change the way people think about sharks, and also train people on enforcement and building their capacity in terms of enforcing laws.
Well, so what are the threats? What are the laws perhaps that are being broken? You mentioned that only 21 out of 200 species are protected, but what are the threats to those shark species?
So right now, there are multiple threats. One is plastic pollution, but we don't know yet the extent of how sharks are affected, although recently there was a whale shark that washed ashore with a lot of plastics in its stomach, and that's been named as the cause of death. But right now, shark fishing is highly unregulated. We don't have a lot of data on how many sharks are being caught and where, and what the ceilings, the catch ceiling is for certain species. So we have no idea if it's sustainable or not. And right now, the way the government records it is just it's fish. But since sharks have very different biological requirements, you know, they reproduce at a much later stage and they don't have a lot of pups. It's not like little fish that, you know, have millions of eggs. A lot of sharks give like birth to very few babies. So these are biological considerations that need to be considered and that are currently not being considered. So we're working on collecting more data, but also teaching enforcers how to ID fish, and then working with fishermen and youth and teachers and different stakeholders just to inform them the value of sharks in the marine ecosystem.
Well, Anna Oposa, one of the major initiatives that you and your group, Save Philippine Seas, are really focusing on right now is trying to establish a shark and ray sanctuary in the waters around the Philippines.
Yes.
What would that actually look like?
So in Malapascua, the place that I work in, it's actually the first shark and ray sanctuary in the Philippines, but that was established through an executive order. And the way the Philippine legislative framework works is that an executive order is passed by a mayor, which means if the future mayors don't like this law, they can always pass another one that overthrows it. So right now we're working on making it an ordinance, which means regardless of who's in power, the shark sanctuary will still be there. And what this looks like is connecting the different marine protected areas in the municipality so that when the sharks migrate from one marine protected area to another, they're going to be safe, but also creating a board, a management board with different stakeholders to make sure that the different provisions in the policy are enforced and that there's budget allocated for it forever. So in the ordinance, it will have a financing mechanism to support enforcement and education initiatives.
Anna Oposa, as you mentioned earlier, the group that you founded, Save Philippine Seas, started as kind of a social media movement and is now still very focused on what you, and I love the pun, call CETASEN. S-E-A.
Yeah, we're obsessed with puns a little bit. Yeah.
being good ocean citizens and really making this citizen-based, a social movement. Why do you think that's so important?
I think it's also cultural, because in the Philippines, we're very passionate about what we call people power and having movements come from civil society. And I started Save Philippine Seas when I was very young. I was 23 and I had no, like you said earlier, I had no conservation experience. But I want people to understand that you don't need to have a degree in conservation to be able to act on an issue. I was a writer and I used that skill to reach certain people. I am a communicator and a storyteller, and I use those skills to tell the story of the sea, you know? And like I said, we Filipinos are so out of touch with the ocean, and it helps to have people talking about it. But it's not just communication, you know, like whatever skill you have, whether you're a graphic artist or an accountant or a scientist, we want people to understand that these skills are needed and it's an interdisciplinary field. So we always create opportunities for people to act on an issue, whether it's changing a behavior like, you know, reducing their use of single-use plastics, or if you go to our website, we have free open source toolkits where people can just download letters and write to their leaders. Or we create events in like a brewery or a mall, because we want to get more people involved and for people to understand that conservation isn't just supposed to be for, you know, environmentalists or scientists. It's for everybody. When we protect the oceans, we protect our people.
Anna Oposa is the co-founder, executive director, and chief mermaid of Save Philippine Seas. She'll be speaking at the New England Aquarium on Thursday, May 9th at 7 o'clock. You can find a link to more information about that on our Facebook page. It's Living Lab Radio. Anna, thank you so much, and best of luck with your efforts.
Thank you.
Up next, planting a garden that can be home to wildlife. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.